Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, covering the movie you've all been waiting for, probably.
On the edge of your seats for.
I think it's safe to say this is our most hotly demanded coverage of all time.
Easily.
Small Soldiers from 1998. I couldn't keep the bit going. Oh, no.
Oh, there was a big audience for Small Soldiers, if you know what I'm saying.
That's
people
true.
People were clamoring. They were like, it's almost like Black Friday, and you got to get the hottest toy that's out on the market right now. Tickle Me Elmo. What are some other ones?
Beanie Babies.
Oh, yeah, Beanie Babies. Got to get that Princess Diana Beanie Baby.
Yeah, Tamagotchis.
Tamagotchis. Oh, Pogs. Got to get the Pogs.
Nintendo 3D. Remember that, with that thing where you would like, you played Mario Tennis on it only?
And you got seizures?
I had one of those.
Or Virtual Boy? I'm thinking of Virtual Boy.
Game Boy Color.
What was that toy from Jingle All the Way?
The Turbo Man.
Turbo Man. Everyone needs to get their Turbo Man this
year.
I do
have one of those.
Do you really have a Turbo
Man? Yeah, I have a big old Turbo Man on my shelf.
Nice.
It's been on my videos. Begging you to watch my videos.
But we're doing Small Soldiers, which would have been that year's hottest toy, Adam, had it not been for the fact that they were implanted with munitions-grade microchips.
I'm pretty sure they actually sold really well, these toys. I'm not positive.
Mm. I remember them being out. I didn't have any of myself.
Definitely a collector's item now.
Yeah.
But this was actually a Patreon-demanded film from Jadinklage Morgoon, one of our stout patrons. Because at a certain tier, each of our patrons gets to mandate that we watch a movie of their choosing. Every week we do one of them at least. Also on the Patreon, you get at least one bonus episode per month voted upon by the patrons at the $5 and above tiers. This month's is likely going to be Knives Out by an avalanche.
It's pulling away. Surprisingly so. I thought this month would be the one that there was like a very close competition, but no, Knives Out has been pulling away pretty strongly.
Yeah, we tried to do like a Thanksgiving fall theme for this month for obvious reasons. It's Noirvember.
Noirvember.
And we chose...
We should have done that. Oh my God. Every week review a noir film in Noirvember.
I do love noir. We could have done Strange Days.
Strange Days.
Could have done Chinatown.
Brick.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Brick's
a good neo-noir. Another Rian Johnson film.
Yeah.
So we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We put...
Miss Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire. She's married. We put...
Sorry.
We had to put Knives Out. And what's the fourth one that we used?
I don't remember.
We should have said The Witch because it had pilgrims. I was really proud of that joke.
You were.
I like how Jordan-esque was like...
What's the theme?
I was offended by that. Like, fucking obviously. Fall / Thanksgiving.
Duh.
By the way, the horror movie, Eli Roth's horror movie, Thanksgiving, is in theaters right now. I heard it's really good. Like it's,
that's what I've heard, yeah.
It's based on a fake trailer.
Like Thanksgiving?
He did one of the Grindhouse trailers, yeah. And it's his best reviewed movie ever.
Is it really?
Yeah, like by a long margin. Like it's.
Well, I remember that trailer from it was Thanksgiving, but yeah, I remember that trailer from Grindhouse where it was just like a person's head on a, like a turkey body and stuff. Thanksgiving.
He ended up making the movie, and it's great. It's apparently like a Scream type movie. Very funny, very brutal. I'm excited. I might go see it tonight. Okay. I tried to go see it last night, but I had to watch Small Soldiers instead. Thank you, Jadinkwith Morgoon.
Hey, don't lie. You loved it.
I had a good time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about today. Our Lost coverage is back for longtime listeners. Come on. I don't know if you're listening to this, you're already here. So I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but come back. The Lost coverage is back. We're going to finish season one.
We have to go back. You have to go back.
That's right. That's right. Madison will be back soon. She was not on the pre-recorded episodes. We've got some scheduling issues. She may not be episode 8. But she's here. She's still watching Lost with us. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it.
We got some things to figure out. But the merch store, there's some important things going on there. You can what's a hip way to say it? You can cop you a Lost shirt. Can I say that?
Cop you.
You know? Snag.
For a second, I thought you were talking about like Cop University, and I'm like, what?
A cab. We got a laser declined to comment shirt. What else we got in there?
Just the Pip and the Dog fan club and normal streaming things.
That's merch. Right.
Yeah. But definitely the Lost shirts are hitting. If some of you pre-ordered, those have been shipped.
Steve May undies. We've got those. It's his face on the front. They're tidy whiteys. With just his open mouth on the front. That actually might sell like hotcakes.
It might, actually.
We've got some weirdos.
Get in the comments. Let us know if you would buy that.
Yeah. But then I want to be on the back. Thumbs up. The cheeks.
I would love that, especially if it was done like in a, you know how if you go on like a beach and they've got those like spray paint shirt artists?
Yes.
That like spray, like it's that art style, but like us. That would be fire.
All right. If our merch store folks are listening, let me know what you got as far as undies. If they're high quality, I'll wear them. No chafing.
I can't wait to just wear underwear with my own face over my own crotch.
I have that shirt.
It's better
shirt.
Not awaken anything in me.
I had that Steve May Day shirt. I wore it all the time because whatever Phil used, that material was actually super high quality. Yeah. And I washed my wife's bridesmaid dress. Anyway, it's a bright pink Steve May Day shirt now.
You've made it better.
I guess. I was a little upset. I was like, dang. I wear a lot of pink shirts, but it's not like this shirt was meant to be pink color. You know, it's like you ruined it in the dryer color.
I got more shirts if you need one.
I need more, and I love that the material.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever come upon my videos on Instagram or anything, you'll notice I'm just wearing that shirt unironically all the time.
I have seen that from time to time. It makes me go, aw, buddy.
It's just so comfy. What other news we got? You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. I do read those. We haven't been monitoring the email. Monitoring is not the right word. We haven't been like utilizing the email very much over the past few months. But I still read them all. We just don't get a ton of fan mail in that way anymore. I think a lot of our diehard talky listeners are just in the Discord at this point.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Or but, DM on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah, DMing us. That's right. We're much more active on the other social medias now. But that email is there for your deep thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you can go to streamingthingspod.com to find
everything.
All of our episodes. You might be unaware that we have some great House of the Dragon coverage, some great Stranger Things coverage. I don't know if you guys know that we did that.
we do a lot.
Yeah,
we do a lot.
And we got more down in the pipeline. Yeah.
And I want to take this time to thank all of our listeners for supporting the show in any way that they do, because you guys are allowing us to upgrade the studio once again. So this is the last time you're going to hear our voices through our old, decrepit, aged, slowly dying computer.
Is it going to sound different? Are you claiming that right now?
The goal is it won't sound different at all. Like when you listen next week, it shouldn't be any different, allows us to be, we're going to edit quicker, which means we'll probably be able to do more episodes a week again. But then also video capabilities are now future-proofed. We can expand over time. We're going to be able to do way more things as the future progresses. It's very exciting. I'm excited because now I can have a computer that doesn't take, I don't know. How long did we just sit right now just to turn the microphones?
At least 20 minutes.
Yeah. It was just 20 minutes of us sitting here waiting for the computer to wake up and go, oh yeah, the OBS.
Hello.
Let me go into the archives and find it.
Would you like to play Minesweeper while you wait?
It'll be 5 minutes to upload Minesweeper.
Just click bunk.
Click what?
Just click the boxes until it explodes. Nobody knows how to play.
I know how to play Minesweeper.
My wife is actually really good at Minesweeper. She's tried to explain it to me a bunch of times. No. I just click around. It's really satisfying when you click one and
this
half
one?
Of them.
No?
Yeah.
Bob.
Got it.
But yeah, Small Soldiers, man.
Let's get into it. This movie was made, as we said, in 1998, directed by Joe Dante, whose pedigree includes Gremlins.
Heck yeah.
Co-directing Gremlins 2.
Heck yeah.
Definitely the better of the two movies. And also The Howling, a pretty highly regarded classic horror film from the 80s. That's about it. He doesn't have much financial success to speak of. He's directed dozens and dozens of movies and TV shows, worked on like some CSI and shit, but that's his big thing, right? And the funny thing about us covering Small Soldiers.
Can't believe you left out Interspace.
I've never seen Interspace. Is that fire? Is that fire? Sci-fi?
Of course. Actually, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
It's just like the number one thing on his IMDb. And I'm like, how could you forget?
If I don't know about
1987's Interspace.
I'm not going to act like
I rated a 6.8 on IMDb.
Listeners know that about Kit Laser. He keeps it real.
Keeps it tight.
He might not be that smart. He might not be that handsome. He might not be fun to listen to or any other good thing.
But damn it, he keeps it tight.
I know he's going to keep it real. He's not going to lie.
Oh, real. He's not.
He's not going to act like he's seen Interspace. He's just going to keep playing with his mic if you're watching on the video. That's right. And that's not a euphemism. My actual microphone. But the thing about Joe
Put
Dante.
Put it away, sir.
The thing that makes this so funny that we're covering this movie, Jedinklage Morgoon, is that we also were forced to cover Ants. And this is also made by DreamWorks. And I think
this is a way better movie than Ants, though.
But as Ants is to A Bug's Life, so is Small Soldiers to Toy Story. This is the DreamWorks answer to a very popular Pixar movie.
Sure.
That is,
they definitely take a much more different approach to toys in this one than Toy Story does.
I would argue it is the same thing. It is a movie ostensibly for children, like Ants, that is actually fucking terrifying, like Ants, that is nowhere near as good as the one that it's trying to be like Ants. Like Toy Story shits on Small Soldiers. We can all, that's not a hot take, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. No.
And they directly steal from Toy Story multiple times in this movie. Like with the toy hanging off the back of the bicycle, being chased by a dog, that happens in Toy Story. There's a plot point involving a rocket with a toy strapped to a rocket that happens in Toy Story. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. I'm just saying It's so funny that they kept trying to make these kids' movies. And Spielberg's like, oh, guys, here, I got an idea. Let's make it fucking terrifying. How about that? You know, like, I don't know what was going on at DreamWorks.
But that's like a certain section of movies, especially kids' movies in like the 80s. And in the early 90s, this movie is like towards the tail end of this for sure. But it's this movie where like this movie's marketed for children. But if you really stop and look at it, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's a little it feels unsafe in a way. And but I think that's why I think especially people of our age kind of gravitate towards movies like Gremlins.
Yes.
And not so much this one. I do. So here's the thing. Overall thoughts on this movie.
Yeah.
Let me get it out. Is this a good movie? No, it is not. Did I enjoy my time watching this movie? Absolutely. I had fun watching this movie. As stupid as it is, it was fun.
I remember when this came out.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old. I was the audience for this, supposedly. I think I'm at 35, way more the audience that they accidentally shot for.
Yeah.
Like the scene with all the Barbie, the Gwendy dolls and stuff. That's not for children.
No.
That is weird fetishization.
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah. Can I get a 3-day pass? What do you need to do for 3 days, sir?
I need to look at those parts.
And then when they even, like, you've been a bad boy. It's, who is this for?
There was, the Gwendy dolls in particular was just a writer's room that they shoved a couple writers in a room for like 2 hours and turned the heat off. or I'm sorry, turned the heat on and roasted them. And all they're like, make one-liners for the Gwendy dolls, go. And like, cause that's all the Gwendy dolls are, just like,
okay, voiced by bad boy. Christina Ricci. And who else?
Buffy.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Those are the Gwendy dolls. The voice cast in general in this movie is impressive. It's let's go through it real quick. Kirsten Dunst. This is pre-Spider-Man Kirsten Dunst, mm-hmm. but post-Jumanji.
Yeah.
David Cross. Jay Moore. Haven't thought about him in 20 years.
Oh, Jay, that was a blast from the past.
Dennis Leary keeps popping up in our patron movies as well.
I know. This is what, like the second time in a month he's popped up?
Yeah. We were just on Sandlot.
Ernest Borgnine popped up twice in 2 weeks. He was in Gattaca in this movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dick Miller, otherwise known as Robert De Niro from Wish.
Oh, that's right. So I had not watched. You sent me that photo of Dick Miller yesterday saying, how is this not out, Robert De Niro? And I hadn't started watching this movie yet, so I had no context for that.
Like, I was just like, I don't think you even responded.
I didn't. I didn't know what to do with it because I saw that photo. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Is that not him? Is what you thought?
Yes.
Don't send me this photo of Robert De Niro and just say, how is this not Robert De Niro? What is this? Was it one of those games where, like, what's different about this picture?
Yeah.
What? Oh my God! I was rewatching Parks and Rec. Do you know what game I'm talking about?
Yeah,
where it's two identical pictures, but some things are changed.
Yeah.
Andy, Chris Pratt's character in Parks and Rec, goes up to Ron Swanson and says, "Look, I found all the differences in this picture." And Ron says, "Those are two entirely different pictures." Because Andy's at a doctor's office and Ron's trying to help him.
Yeah.
He's playing with all the little kids stuff. Anyway, that's definitely not relevant, but that's one of the best jokes of all time.
I love it.
Phil Hartman's in this movie.
R.I.P.
One of the many like cocaine-addled comedians beloved in the 80s.
He's great in this movie. Just his over smarminess acting that he does. So funny.
He is. He's being himself. Frank Langella voices Archer. So we got Skeletor voicing Archer. And then, of course, Tommy Lee Jones. It goes on and on and on. Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer.
Bruce Dern.
Who did Bruce Dern play? Oh, Link Static.
Link Static, the communications guy, I think.
Who played...
Oh, and I know this person means nothing to you, but for a huge Star Trek fan, when Robert Picardo showed up, I geeked out so hard.
Well, he's in all the other Joe Dante movies, too. He's in Gremlins, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but he's one of my favorite Star Trek characters on Voyager. He plays the Doctor.
And not to be confused with the Doctor British
Who.
Doctor.
Yeah, not Doctor Who, but just the Doctor. And yeah, he's... so hilarious. And he's basically doing the Doctor character, like that kind of prickly, like, why are you interrupting my science right now? Shtick. He's great.
Yeah, he plays the guy who like is obsessed with the X-1000 chip.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the T-1000.
No, completely different departments of defense working on this.
By the way, the character of Punch It, I'm pretty sure. Is it Punch It? Is it the one? Was no, that's not Punch It.
Punch It is one of the monsters.
Yeah, the Gorgonites.
Yeah, I think Punch It or Kick It or like the it's like the two monsters in
Scratch
one.
It.
Bop It.
Punch It and Scratch It. Yeah, so he was voiced by Pippin the Dog, which is weird. Is that the one that's like, hello, I'm an alien?
No, that's Slamfist. Slamfist is
his name is Slamfist?
Who could have talked like this?
Yeah, I was like, is Pippin the Dog the voice of this character?
No, it's not Pippin the Dog. I wish it would have been. I just want belly scratches.
I was watching a critique of this movie. I think it's the Nostalgia Critic or something. I'd never seen his videos before, but he was talking about how it's like, yes, they're like David Cross wanted these aliens to be good guys in his original conception of these toys, and Dennis Leary made them the bad guys because they look ugly or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like they were redesigned to be the villains. And there's nothing about their personalities or the way they act that is villainous whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And the protagonists are blood-hungry psychopaths.
Yeah, they are.
So it's like, it's just really funny to him, and I think it's worth pointing out. It's interesting. Like, they were designed to be the good guys, even though their chip is making them crazy. Yeah.
No, like, I totally get that point, but also, like, imagine what we thought a good guy G.I. Joe was supposed to be in the 90s. It was a bit like, we're going to kill him. Find him and kill him.
Yeah. Along that line, we were reading some trivia about this. Apparently, Joe Dante wanted the entire cast of 1987's Predator to voice these characters, including, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Chip, which played by Tommy Lee Jones.
This movie would have been one of my favorite movies of all time.
If they had done that.
If they had done that. If it was Arnold Schwarzenegger walking around like, we got to get the Gorgonites. We're going to kill them, we're going to find them, and then we're going to get rescue grenades.
Link, you son of a bitch.
Which one was which? So, like, according to IMDb,
too many pencils.
Shane Black would voice Kip Killigan, which...
Great game.
It's just like, just imagine a toy just sitting there. I think Kip Killigan's the one with the cigar in its mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagine that little character just making pussy jokes the whole time.
Whole time.
And then Carl Weathers would voice Butch Meathook.
Was that the sniper?
Yeah. Jesse Ventura would play Brick Bazooka, which...
Please.
Which Brick Bazooka, by the way, creepiest one out of all of them. That dude is horrifying. He's got that big, giant, like, Joker smile. And he's just
the one that dies with the mohawk in the garage, right?
No, he's the big buff one that...
gets his legs put back on.
Yeah. But, like, if he got his legs ripped off and they're like, oh, my God... Brick Bazooka, are you okay? And he's like, I ain't got time to bleed. It's just Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about how the temperature of steel beams don't melt. 9/11 was an inside job. And it's like, oh my God, that hasn't happened yet. How do you know?
Oh my God. That's how we know it's real.
Bill Duke would be Link Static. And then Sonny Lundham would play Nick Nitro, which actually, that would be kind of cool. Like, replace that one. That's the one with the mohawk.
Yes. Nick Nitro was cool. That's the most terrifying face, though, I think.
Yeah, that one is pretty terrifying.
They're all scary as hell.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's crazy. And there's some really good jokes in this movie. But basically, the film starts out at, was it Globodyne?
Globotech.
Globotech. Sorry, I was getting my 80s corporate villain confused. RoboCop literally just did this movie.
OCP?
So we start at Globotech, run by Dennis Leary. He's basically acquiring all these companies. So he buys up this toy company and leaves Jay Moore and David Cross employed, which would never happen.
They're the only two employed, apparently.
That would never happen. And he wants a new toy line. And then he goes on a classic Dennis Leary rant. And he's upset about the dishonesty of all commercials nowadays. Why can't it really punch outside the box and talk and be the most amazing advanced toy of all time? Well, it can, because they give them access to classified military technology, and he puts munitions chips, X-1000 chips in these toys.
Which I have to give it to Dennis Leary in this movie. They actually paint that character as a legit cutthroat, but also like... thinking outside
the product.
Yeah, he wants to sell an honest product. He's very good at marketing. He has that line where he's like, don't call it violence, call it action.
Kids love action.
Kids love action. Like, that's a really, if you're a marketer, like, oh, that's really smart. And then also the very progressive way of dealing with your monopoly of companies that you own is you give each other access to everyone's classified information. So the toy company get the nuke chips and all that.
This is your password. You know, just memorize it and give it back. Mine's Gizmo.
Like,
get like, it? Because I directed.
Cause I did. I did Gremlins. Get it?
But then we never find out Jay Moore's password.
They keep bringing up Gizmo too. Like, oh, this Gizmo here. We get it. We get it, man.
Gremlins was your only successful franchise ever. Let it go.
We need to find the Gorgonites. Maybe they're hiding in the inner space.
In CSI New York. What? Something he directed recently.
Oh, sorry. That was Law & Order. I did the Law & Order noise. Dum, dum. I got my serialized murder shows mixed up.
Not cool, man. CSI was always The Who.
Yeah!
Okay. So then we go to our main character, young Alan, who's a bizarre character because his whole backstory is that he used to be a terrible kid who's like, really into what's it called, graffiti, and just terrorizing other people's property in general. He's been kicked out of multiple schools. And so now his parents, his dad just hates him at this
point. Didn't he do arson? Like, he says, isn't there an arson thing?
It was a joke about burning the school down, I think.
Oh, but he wasn't serious? Oh, no, that's it. He called it a bomb threat.
That's right.
And
yes.
It's like, oh, geez, this kid's
again, this is
wild.
3 years before that would be a huge deal. this is 3 years prior to September 11th, 2001.
Ahead of his time.
He was.
This little terrorist but was like, ahead of his time.
Nothing about the way that he is suggests that he was that kind of kid at any point. He's reformed.
Any kid that like graffitis places, is threatening bomb threats, setting schools on fire, they're not going and working at their dad's toy shop.
Right.
that ain't happening.
But his dad's letting him like run the whole shop. Which his shop is called Inner Child or something. And his dad's against any kind of actual cool toys. It's all these like old wood. It's like Pinocchios and shit. It's
like, guys, we got this brand new thing. It's called a Slinky. Mm. Holy cow. It goes downstairs.
I can't wait till these ball in a cup start flying off the shelves.
Hooping a stick is our biggest seller.
Why would you want a Nerf gun when you could have a pogo stick? I tell you, kids these days. So that's the kind of
pogo stick.
And by the way,
too hip for that story.
When you see their house, Alan's dad, played by Kevin Dunn, when you see their house, it always cracks me up that movies did this in the 90s. They still kind of do it, but it's not as bad because I was poor as a kid and it made me feel so much more poor. Like Alan makes the joke when his mom's like, did you clear the money out of the cash register? He's like, yes, I got both quarters and all six pennies, right? Like, they never make any money. I don't know what the mom does for a living.
But they live in like a three-story
That house
home.
Is a massive,
it's
like,
gorgeous
Tudor home. It's like generational wealth. What's going on here? You know, like, how are you affording this? You should be in an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment on the third floor with shitty neighbors. It always smells like weed and meth in there. That's where you should be.
Yeah.
And I want to see
100%,
it.
100%, yeah. Yeah, that would be a cooler movie if it's just like just a rundown house. Like, oh, man, we can't, you know, put two pennies together.
Yeah, his mom's just like chain smoking when he comes home from school.
And that's why
I told you to pick up the groceries.
And I love how this movie does this thing where they're trying to make this kid look so edgy. But there's nothing, you're right, there's nothing edgy about him other than his poor haircut decisions.
Well, you're forgetting the sign on his desktop computer that says question reality.
Question reality,
what
yeah.
What does that even mean?
you got a question reality, man. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real, okay?
That's true.
But then also, he has this weird relationship with this old...
The truck driver Joe?
Truck driver Joe.
Played by Dick Miller?
Played by Dick Miller, who's like... He's the dude you would see on a CSI who's like unloading boxes like... Oh, that girl, she seemed nice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't think anyone would murder her. But you should talk to the boyfriend.
Right. Like. He's that character. Yeah. Like, you know, 13-year-old boy, you want to buy $2,000 of these toys that are contracted to some other company on front? Absolutely. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
But you better not screw me, kid. You know, like, what is this?
Don't be a snitch. And he like pulls out like one of those like flip knives. Like,
I don't like your tone. It's too loud.
It's too loud. Also, you want to buy any meth? Because I know a guy.
Yeah. We can peddle all kinds of wares while your dad's at the small business seminar.
And I just love how the kid, again, because he's a criminal.
You got any of those Gwendy dolls? They make me feel funny.
Oh, do I? That's Papa Joe's private collection. Yeah, I just love how the kid, because he's a criminal, just tells Joe straight up like, oh, come on, Joe. You mean to tell me that nothing's ever fallen off your truck before?
He's got that backstory, that dark backstory, this Alan.
I call him bomb threats. You cannot intimidate
me. I'll take you down, Joe. And nobody names anyone Alan anymore, and that makes me sad.
That's true.
All you got is the wrenches now. You know?
God damn it. Boo. Get out.
It's true, though. I wouldn't have named my son Alan. I never would have done that. It didn't occur to me.
Alan? If you named your son Alan, I just would think of the raptor from Jurassic Park 3. Alan.
That's what he did.
Alan.
In the video, the nostalgic critic guy I was telling you about earlier.
Yeah.
When he said Alan, a raptor jumped out and he edited it in there and he went, get away. And I didn't understand the joke.
The Jurassic Park 3 raptor. Alan.
Okay. I haven't seen Jurassic Park 3 in a long time. Wasn't aware I needed to revisit that one.
And apparently... You have to.
Is it a good one, Steve?
No. It's the third worst.
It's better than Fallen Kingdom and Dominion, you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back to Small Soldiers. So Alan gets these toys. He wants to sell them all while his dad's away so the store can make some actual money. By the way, his plan is terrible. You got to tell your dad where the money came from, right? Like, if he realizes that the store profited $600 while you've been gone and none of the inventory has moved, it's going to look weird. Your plan's awful. Mm-hmm. And why do you even care anyway? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you're not an entrepreneur.
Just call a bomb threat.
At the IRS. Yeah. Take care of all your dad's problems.
Yeah.
But that's his whole supposed plan. He sets the store up with like all the little like standy up cardboard things and everything.
This kid would be one of those kids that swat people on Twitch.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He's bleeding edge, this kid.
Yeah, ahead of his time.
So then we get the entrance of Kristen Dunst, who's extremely abusive to her little brother. But this is so 90s to be this way.
Yeah.
Like,
come on, you little brat.
Yeah, I want this toy. Shut the fuck up. And it's like, well, who's letting her babysit
him? She like trips him, then picks him up again and pushes him down. Like,
I only date older guys. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you saying that now? I just want this toy.
16-year-olds?
her whole character is so wild. But she comes in.
But I will say.
Yeah.
She is really good in this movie.
Oh, this is why she became the queen shortly after this. Kirsten perfect Dunst for these kinds of movies.
Is so good. And just she has that charisma and just you believe her character. Like actually the worst instance of her character is how mean she is to her brother in the beginning. Cause that reads like, hey, be meaner to him. Like Joe Dante's but be meaner to your brother. But everything else is like, oh, I believe I would know. I feel like I know this girl. Like, I grew up with a girl like that.
It was that and the motorcycle boyfriend out of nowhere. And then her being like, clearly, and at like Alan and her having a thing going on.
They got that chemistry.
But then she takes her, Alan, I do have to warn you. I only date older guys. It's like,
society.
What is going on right now? By the way, she collects Gwendy dolls, but hates them as well. I've always hated these dolls. Why are you collecting them?
Because society is telling her what she should do as a woman.
That's true. This movie is a deep critique of
Christine
capitalism.
Christine needs to be liberated from the patriarchy. 100%.
So Alan turns Archer and Chip on.
Yeah, he does.
He activates the toys and then leaves them in the workshop. But their prime directives kick in. And Chip wants to destroy all Gorgonites.
Yeah. And again, Tommy Lee Jones is
the emissary of the Gorgonites.
Tommy Lee Jones is crushing it.
Yes.
Like, I know we kind of joked about the Predator crew being like a better team overall. That would be fun, but you are going to lose Tommy Lee Jones as Chip Hazard, who is having the time of his life, I feel like. Literally, especially in the first half of this movie, every line Chip Hazard does is so funny because of Tommy Lee Jones's delivery.
Yeah, he's great.
Civilian, declare your allegiance.
Yeah. I mean, again, Chip is what if Buzz Lightyear, but deadly.
Yeah. What if
that's the idea behind
Buzz
this movie?
Lightyear, but a psychopath.
Yeah. It's two toys that think that they're real or whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of the humor is based off of that. And it's hilarious. Tommy Lee Jones crushes it. It's true.
What is there's just this one cutaway because there's a lot of action happening where they leave Chip. He leaves Chip and Archer alone while he's talking to his dad, I think.
Yes.
And there's this one cutaway where they cut back to them and Chip Hazard has like a needle or a knife or something that he's holding Archer at gunpoint, like knife point. And he says something like, meet death with honor, you coward.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I think he's just talking to, was it Christy?
Kirsten Dunst.
Because then he goes home. For somehow, Archer sneaks into his backpack because he's scared of Chip, I guess. Because that's what Gorgonites do. They hide. They're like massive, strong aliens. And as soon as they do decide to fight, they kick ass shop, immediately. Yeah. Especially with Insanitas or whatever. What's his name?
Insaniac.
Which looks like Michael Bay's inspiration for one of the Transformers later on. And then he stole Kevin Dunn as well.
Yeah, he's like, I need a dad of a kid in charge of a toy franchise.
Yeah.
Give me Kevin Dunn.
Everybody calls him the big guns, the big Duns.
Yeah, the Insaniac character was the one that you could feel it even amongst the Gorgonites. They're like, just ignore him. Don't directly engage with him. He'll say his dumb, annoying bullshit. No one like actually respond because no one responds to Insaniac at all. It's just this crazy. He's like, hey, everybody, I'm a comic from the 40s.
He's on spinning on the globe and shit.
Yeah.
I do like the little scene when they're playing with everything in the house and you cut to like Pip and the dog in the eyeball. Oculus.
We're watching The Rock lay the smackdown.
Yeah, they're just watching WWF and it's so cool. Get him.
Get him. Give him the people's elbow.
DDT. DDT.
That man had a family, by God.
Did you just quote JR?
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way, and BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Gobble, gobble, stream fiends. It is the month of November, and thus comes Thanksgiving if you celebrate it here in the States. But it's a month where we want to take a step back and just really appreciate and be thankful for everything that we have here at Streaming Things. One of the many things that we are thankful for are our patrons at all tiers, but especially our super patrons, which we shout out each and every month here on the podcast. Let's get to it. We are thankful for you, Sydney B, Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brenstradamus, it's a great name, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento 7, Jace Gramo, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big But Horny Got an Upgrade, Conrad, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Love Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show. Gobble, gobble.
That's when he realizes slowly that these toys are way smarter than he thinks that he thought they were originally, because Archer knew his name, Alan Shut Up Now, or whatever.
What?
And just he's over there. Did you remember the Digital Encyclopedia Encarta? Because
yes,
I did not until this movie, and I had a wave of memories flood back in.
Same exact situation for
Alan,
me.
Keeper of Encarta. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, whoa. That's a blast from the past.
Archer learned everything about our world immediately. Mm-hmm. The click of a mouse. And he also played Minesweeper. Also didn't know the rules, though.
I just keep clicking random spaces.
It's bizarrely fun, even though I don't know the rules.
I am Archer, emissary of Minesweeper. Very bad at it.
Greetings. I caught dysentery on your Oregon Trail.
That was a great game. Now I want to play Oregon Trail.
Let's do it. Shut down the pod.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We're turning small soldiers off to play some Oregon Trail.
It'll take your old computer a long time to load up Oregon Trail.
It would. But yeah, we also were introduced to Phil Hartman around this time, his character. Yeah, Phil Hartman playing Phil, like...
He's the techno
Phil
neighbor.
Guy, yeah.
Who cuts down... By the way, highly illegal to cut down your neighbor's trees.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, frowned upon. That is... You get fucked up, especially with HOA fees. I bet there's some HOA fees in this neighborhood.
He seems like a nightmare of a neighbor because he's cutting down trees to get a satellite dish to have better reception. But then, like, when all the insanity of the toy war is, like, popping off at the end of the movie, like, it keeps cutting to all the neighbors in the neighborhood hearing the noise and the racket. And instead of calling the cops or investigating further, like, ugh, Phil Hartman at it again.
There he goes. Yeah, he also lets his daughter run off on motorcycles with, like, 30-year-old dudes. Probably not a good guy.
That dude is that her boyfriend, Brad.
He shows up. He has three lines and we didn't know about him because she's having a good time with Alan, helping him clean up the shop because while he's sleeping with Archer, I keep saying it in the wrongest ways. Greetings.
Greetings.
Where I come from. When he comes back to the shop, all the other soldiers have busted out and they kill, they destroy, what's his name?
Troglodon.
And all the other ones are hiding, but we think that they might be dead. So he's got to clean up the shop, and Christy shows up to get her brother the toys, but helps him clean. They're bonding. They're having a good time. But then she goes outside, and her boyfriend is just sitting there on the motorcycle. And, oh, okay, by the way, this guy exists. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, aren't you the kid that burns down schools?
Yeah, I am.
And we don't get much from him. We just know that his name is not Alan. And so we're not supposed to like him. That's all we know.
His name's Brad.
No, it's not Alan.
It's not Alan.
It's Alan and not Alan. Christy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one who has the 90s double part, but he's killing it.
Yeah.
Alan has too much forehead to rock the double part.
He was about to get one of those shell necklaces and frost the tips. He's 1 year away from doing that.
That dude would have rocked it. I get it.
Guaranteed he did.
I get it.
100% he did. Bye, bye, bye.
I love the scene when Chip Hazard activates the other commandos. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, the commandos fall in. And they're all like giving their names. And just the quick little aside that Tommy Lee Jones is spitting out, like, I'm Nick Holty or whatever the guy, Nick Nolte or whatever.
Nick one with Nolte. Link Static?
I'm Nick Nolte. but there's one point he's like, serve with your father. He's a good man.
And yeah.
Rick Bazooka's like, I'm ready to kill some Gorgon. He's like, save it for the enemy. Don't be a tool.
Then he breaks the toy gun over his knee. Standard issue, not good enough. And then they find some actual tools to kill with until they get to the garage. And then all hell breaks loose. So they go out on a mission to hunt down the rest of the Gorgonites. That's their prime directive because they are, in fact, military-grade munitions chips in action, constantly learning, never to be stopped except by a nuclear blast EMP.
Which, this was peak. Every movie had an EMP.
Yeah, you learn the words EMP. This is 1 year before The Matrix, right? Mm-hmm. EMPs were the rage.
Oh, yeah. Late 90s, early 2000s, you couldn't solve a problem without throwing an EMP at it. You know what I'm saying?
Climate change. EMP it.
EMP it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then in the 2010s, it was beam in the sky. Everything had a beam in the sky. And then what's the new trend now? It's multiverse. Now it's multiverse.
You want to stop racism? EMP.
EMP.
Just try it. Have they ever tried it?
A nuclear EMP will ought to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch this drive. and then what happens? Okay, so Archer and Alan are bonding. The soldiers break out. Oh, yeah, so Alan's got, like, Archer in his backpack. His dad finds out that the toy boat's broken. And he's so mean to Alan. I know Alan's been kicked out of school twice. But, like, when he runs home, it's like, Dad, you forgot your ticket. He's like, oh, thanks. And then Alan goes, I guess I'm not always a screw-up. And his dad goes, and gets in his car and leaves. Like, doesn't acknowledge that. Like, that's a serious mental health red flag for your child, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, buddy. No. You know, you're a good kid. Like, you need to address that immediately and reinforce. Nope. Just going to let that hang and drive away in my convertible Volkswagen, which is a choice.
It is.
If you're a small business owner living in a giant house. Maybe a car that the family could utilize together would be a good idea.
Yeah, maybe a Dodge Stratus.
Nope. No. This is just for me. And I'm going to a small business retreat seminar, not Gwendyland. to blow off some steam.
I need to see the Gwendy dolls.
Hey, big boy. So as he's riding on his bike, the platoon finds him because they know Archer's on that bike because Link Static's been doing recon. Bruce Dern tells everybody. So they launch.
It's a small world after all.
Gotta have that quote. It's almost the title of the movie. We're so close. What's the guy with the big arms that they shoot onto the bicycle?
Brick Bazooka.
Yeah, they shoot Bazooka guy onto the bike. He gets chased by a dog, ends up getting knocked off and losing his legs. Honestly, all of the like war jokes work for me. Flight of the Valkyries.
When Flight of the Valkyrie turned on, I immediately thought of you calling it Flight of the Bumblebee that one time.
I almost did it again just now. Flight of the Valkyries. A lot of Apocalypse Now jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
Yeah.
Instead of napalm, of course.
We got a Wilhelm scream at this part.
We did.
Yeah, classic Wilhelm scream.
We also got a quote at one point from William Tecumseh Sherman. Is that his name?
Yeah.
War is hell. Toys is hell toys is the, hell. One of the last. What the fuck? I get it was the war is hell joke, but when they had
toys is hell,
Dick Miller say toys is hell, I was like, that made it through that. Not only the script and then the recording, but it made it through the edit is miraculous to me. They were like, nailed it.
Well, I mean, when you got
Robert De Niro from Wish.
Wish Robert De Niro delivering the line, you got to keep it.
That's gold. Yeah, but I do like the fact that like, all the soldiers are always like, tell my wife I love her. You know, when their legs are broken off and stuff like that. I like those jokes. I really do. They work for me.
Did we win?
Yeah. You've done all you can, soldier.
You served your country well, son. God, I love Tommy Lee Jones in this movie.
We're going to use your chip to somehow Frankenstein animate all these Barbie dolls.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste.
He like rips the face skin off of it. And it's terrifying.
Well, yeah, when he's ripping, he rips his head off and rips the face skin off. All the others are like, oh, God. They're having an existential crisis. And Chip Hazard's just an ice cold motherfucker who doesn't care.
Yeah, he's learned how to rebuild it. So, yeah, the legs break off and they have to patch him back up. But Archer gets away. And at this point, things escalate quickly. His parents don't know what's going on. When the soldier toys break into the house, he has to fight them off. He gets sliced by like a Dremel tool, defeats them easily because they're not used to human sized people yet. Mm-hmm. The enemy is big and fast. We need to adapt.
You Gorgonite sympathizer scum.
So puts them in a garbage disposal. Oh, that, and that's how we lose. What's his face? The explodey guy.
Nick Nitro goes
down. But anyway, the parents come in. They got a baseball bat and shit. What's all the racket? And he tries to tell them the truth, right? Hey, by the way, you know how I'm really good friends with that criminal truck driver and we have like lots of drug rings and stuff together all the time and you told me to stop. Yeah, Joe, what about him? Well, he fronted me like 10 grand of toys. I was going to move them while you were gone. Why? Oh, okay, thank you for being honest, son.
I'm a fence, really, is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's how I'm keeping the business afloat. I've been doing this whole time. This is the first time I tried doing it with toys.
I've been working on this thing called Bitcoin. I think you're really going to love, Dad.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Huge.
Phil next door, big fan. So then he tells him like it's the toys. They come to life. There's something's wrong with them. They're trying to kill me, and the parents don't believe him because he had just told Archer to shut up, and so Archer is stubbornly not speaking.
He ain't snitching,
even though that new command would override that one, and that makes no sense whatsoever.
This isn't artificial intelligence, Chris. It is
actual
intelligence.
Yeah. And his mom's like, "Are you on crank,
crystal meth, tar, smack?" His mom.
You've been getting into my stash?
His mom parties.
She does. She knows She knows a lot, especially in late 90s.
Yeah, late 90s.
I knew nobody knew what meth was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They used to live in a rough neighborhood. We can tell.
That's what they sold to afford that house.
That's true. Whatever she does, it's kingpin.
Really, it's
Joe's her cousin.
It's his mom who's actually making the money in this illicit, illegal underground.
She's like a stewardess. Because she's got like that cravat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She is wearing like a stewardess outfit.
It's giving stewardess to me, but
it's giving.
It could just be a fashion thing.
I think you're right. That makes sense.
It's not a cravat. Cravat is a
kerchief.
A men thing, right?
I don't know.
Can the ladies wear cravats?
Hey, it's 2023. The ladies can wear whatever they want.
talking about 1998 when we had, you know, gender-specific neckwear.
Mm. But the Gorgonites, they're not destroyed. They're in hiding because hiding is what they do best.
Uh-huh. Sissies. They're in the garbage. Mm-hmm. Oculus. They've rebuilt Troglodon, and they've got Insano.
So there's Troglodon, Ocula, Slamthus.
Thank you for letting me struggle.
Insaniac, punch it and scratch it.
Pop it. Bop it.
Pull it.
Quimby it. They're all in the garbage.
And I did appreciate this joke. So they're in the garbage, but like Nick Nitro got like put in the garbage disposal. And mm-hmm. at the same time, the commandos are like discovering new arsenals in the garage that they can do. But Nick Nitro gets back and Tommy Lee Jones has this line like, Nick Nitro's battery has run out. But his memory, we keep going and going.
Little like, Energizer Bunny joke.
That's a good joke of the time. I think Gen Z listeners may not get that joke, but that's solid.
There's a bunch of like good toy jokes, good war movie references like we talked about. Like there's not nothing to recommend about this movie. Again, I had a great time and I think it's kind of a classic in its own weird way.
This is a great 90s snapshot because so many of the things in the background, specifically in the Barbie or the Gwend doll, like
we're not going to talk about
animation
that section.
Scene. But if you look at the background, all the props they're using is like classic. Oh, I had one of those. Oh, I remember that thing. Oh, wow.
I definitely had a Led Zeppelin poster.
Oh, yeah. Can you? Can you believe this movie somehow got the rights to a Led Zeppelin song?
This is
how
Spielberg,
insane
baby.
That is.
Spielberg. I mean, it's not a tiny movie. It's a new studio, but this is Amblin Entertainment, Universal Pictures, and the newly formed DreamWorks Studios. Right. That's what makes the fact that this movie is so batshit crazy so funny to me, because this is after Ants. Like they keep doing this. Accidentally making super creepy versions of popular kids movies. Because I think that balance that Pixar walks of this is definitely for children, but there are oodles of jokes to keep the parents entertained who are taking the kids to these movies that only the parents are going to get, but are going to leave the childish innocence of this film untainted. I think that's mm-hmm. an art that early DreamWorks did not master.
Well,
you've got the naked Bart. Barbie dolls naked? Walking around in scantily clad, going, hey, big boy.
Well, because I think this movie was actually originally, when the concept of the movie first came out, it was supposed to be geared towards teenagers and not children, per se. I mean, this movie has a PG-13 rating.
That's true.
And I saw a thing, an interview with Joe Dante, where he was talking about how initially it was geared towards teenagers, so they, like, filmed it that way. But then the toy companies got involved and were like, no, you got to make it more kid-friendly. So they pulled back a little on some things, and he says you can see that sort of push and pull.
Yeah, I think the tone. Quality of it is all over the place for that reason.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I just looked up this movie because you said it was not a small movie. This movie had a $40 million budget, and it made $71.8 million in the box office. So it probably didn't break even if you count marketing, because marketing is usually double a budget. But still, it's a lot of millions of dollars for a little toy movie.
A lot of millions.
I mean, they got the Stan Winston company. Stan Winston's team worked on all the animatronics of the toys.
I wonder if I can.
Those are the people who did the T-Rex in Jurassic Park, right? This is some talent behind these animatronics.
Phil Tippett level shit?
Yeah.
I'm looking up if I can buy these small soldiers action figures.
Can you? Probably. I wonder how much they're worth now.
I'm only seeing like the Burger King.
Oh, I remember the Burger King. Yeah.
So Small Soldiers was a huge part of the Burger King's marketing campaign for the Rodeo Burger.
Yeah, dude, the Rodeo Burger slaps.
You can't handle the Rodeo Burger.
You can't handle the Rodeo Burger.
I want to go get one right now. It's back on the menu, right?
I think it's a permanent fixture now.
So I have to look at eBay, but Amazon's only coming up with a few like Burger King toys.
Yeah, it's such a good burger idea. You got a burger, you got barbecue sauce, you got the Burger King onion rings. On the burger?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. They're like, so a two-pack of Chip Hazard and Archer, 1998 action figures sealed, is $169.
Dang.
Or best offer. That's just what they're asking. Small Soldiers action figure lot, 9 figures with accessories and vehicle, $450.
Dang, for the whole set?
Yeah, baby.
Wow. Yeah,
vintage 1998 lot of 13. They're opened. $300.
Ew, gross.
No way. Gross. A lot of people have the Insaniac. Oh, and there's a little tiny Miniac Gorgonites.
Miniac?
Yeah. Eight $80. I'm going to try to cop me some of these. That's what I want for Christmas.
Oh, you want some Small Soldiers gear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't play with me, but I will.
You can't handle this toy.
So then, shit, I mean, things go crazy quickly, guys, from here into uncomfort town. You know, once the Gwendies come out, shit gets weird.
Gwendies.
And Chip is they pretend to defeat Chip, but then he rebuilds his own army with all the other toys from Joe's truck. They start wreaking havoc on the entire town. There's a lawnmower at one point.
There are some.
The whole family tries to fight him off.
There's some moments that like made me go, "What?" They like shoot pills into her mom's gin and tonic to knock her out.
And Phil Hartman's,
yeah. And then they capture her brother and like stuff him in a closet.
Chemical
and, like,
warfare.
Tie him up.
Yeah, when they tackled the little kid, I laughed my ass off.
You can be a prisoner or a casualty. It's up to you.
We have ways of making you talk. And then they set the boyfriend on fire, Brad.
Brad, yeah, because he tries to save her from the
Gwendy. And she breaks up with him because he lost the battle. Yeah, and this is caveman rules.
He ditched her. He didn't call the cops or anything. He just ran.
I mean, the toys are alive and they're setting me on fire.
Sure, I understand.
And also, I'm like 30. I need to get out of here.
I got to get up for work in the morning.
yeah, and she decides she's with Alan now.
But we get this whole thing where the Gorgonites are always looking at the window of his computer. They're looking at like the Microsoft XP like background wallpaper. Like
Windows.
Gorgon.
You think that's a Microsoft product placement?
Maybe. I didn't pay too much attention to the software.
Through the window.
To the wall.
Till the sweat, Jim.
But they want to get back to Gorgon. But instead, they have to go break Christy out of her, the kidnapping.
Yeah, and she's like tied up, duct taped, all that stuff. Spider-Man's not coming to save her. She's got to do something.
Not at all. This is before she met Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually escape, and the commandos have created these like Mad Max style cars.
Yeah, they've got vehicles now.
And I love the weapons. Like the one shoots like CD discs that are on fire.
And like little nail guns.
Nail guns and stuff, yeah.
What do you got, little guy? And he shoots the net on the dad. Like that interaction was just funny. I think it's Link. That interaction is so funny to me.
Because
his dad's so like cocky about it. What do you got? You're a little bitch.
You're a toy.
He got me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he should have done something.
Got hoisted by his own petard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, eventually J-Mar and David Cross join them to try to like
help. Feel bad about
I don't
this.
Know.
Because he left like a voicemail to try to get his money back from the toy company. And so that's how they're hip to that. But it took him a long time because the number got cut off. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah, because the original person he was.
That's one of the ladies from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was giving some great customer service phone line stank. I loved it. Like when she hung up on him and just the face she makes But then he had the worst funny line of like, can I talk to a machine? It's like the reverse of what you do nowadays.
Yeah, that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all hell continues to break loose, basically, until the EMP kicks in, right? They got to create an EMP. They don't have a nuclear device, obviously.
I'm not a scientist.
You got to blow a transformer, Steve. And you can do it by putting plastic between these two things.
Hey, there's metal in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does have circuits and stuff, I guess.
But still, I'm not a scientist. I don't know if that would work exactly that way.
It would.
And if it would create a shockwave EMP.
No, it would. I am a scientist.
Oh, are you?
And I can tell you, at least 6,000 square footage.
Mm, 6,000 square footage?
Yeah, wow. EMP blast.
Have you crunched those numbers?
I did the math before I came over here.
Mm.
It's 6 to 7.
I love that you did that research for the podcast.
Also, the best thing you can do if you're like in a climactic battle with a toy, you got to give it some final words. And the best final words you could ever do are, stupid toy. I mean, that's how you want to end your movie.
I know. Tommy Lee Jones is spitting off fire this whole movie, and he gets undone by a kid whose big line is like, stupid toy.
And I like Archer's big arc was nothing. Like, Chip kicked his ass.
Yeah.
You're designed to lose. And he's right. He lost.
Then I will just take my licking.
But, I mean, the Gorgonites do get an arc where they're programmed to hide and lose, but they decide to fight back. Once they do decide to fight back, as we talked about earlier, they kick immediate ass.
Yeah.
Insaniac cleans house because it turns out if you are the Tasmanian devil of toys in a fight, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you are.
Yeah. And it's just so funny that they ignite this EMP. It's very hilarious. And the Gorgonites luckily shielded themselves from the EMP by hiding under Phil Hartman's giant satellite dish.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. I didn't even think about
it. Science.
Baby.
Science, man.
And then they go off to the Grey Havens on the boat at the end. It's like the ending of fucking Fellowship all of a sudden. We've got to go find Gorgon.
Gorgon.
I hope we don't hit an iceberg. Titanic joke.
This was a year after Titanic came out.
3 years.
3 years?
No, you're right. It's 97.
Yeah.
This is like hottest Titanic town
right
now. Yeah,
Titanic was probably still in theaters when this came out.
They were still looking for Jack.
I hope you get this reference. God. This movie. And then the funny thing, I did like the bit where their cul-de-sac is destroyed, or their street is destroyed.
It's like the Burbs. And
pretty much. And then Mr. Mars, Dennis Leary, shows up and he's just cutting checks to people who are
a little
upset,
check
like,
printer.
Oh, I bet you don't have enough money to settle. Oh, you do. Oh, okay.
I'm assuming everybody's getting six figures at least.
At least.
Some of the houses, probably even millies.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of mills. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. By the way, that's not how you do that, guys. You need to have a lawyer draw up an NDA in return to get the check, because they could just take the money, cash it, and still tell
talk
everybody.
Talk shit, yeah. But it's an economical narrative script writing device, right? Right? You want to get lawyers out of this.
It wasn't really Dennis Leary's fault, except for the whole plot point is that he took out 3 months of R&D and testing out of this, which they would have caught that these toys were homicidal had he not done that. But it's Jay Moore that decided to use X-1000 military technology.
But Dennis Leary is such a progressive business leader who he's like, I can't let my business philosophy of letting all my industries share information with one another, just this can't ruin that. So I'm not going to fire Jay Moore or David Cross. I'm going to give him a ride back home in my helicopter. Come
well, it
on
wasn't
in,
David
boys.
Cross's fault.
Oh, no.
He stole David Cross's password to do that.
It's true. But also, like, David Cross seems like the type of employee that he would have fired in round one, like when he gave him that pitch of the Gorgons, he's like, that sucks. Fired. Like that. He has that energy, but he doesn't. He keeps him around.
He likes the Gorgon design. He
just as monsters.
You guys are a little too progressive with how these monsters are going to interact with the rest of the world. That's all.
But good news. The world is not going to miss out on Chip Hazard and the gang. They're
no,
just
they
going to be
are
repackaged
not.
As South American rebels.
They need to remake this movie. That Chip Hazard voiced by Ron Swanson. I will forever call him Ron Swanson.
Where's all the bacon? Everybody fall in.
We got to take these Gorgons out. Actually, he could play Archer. Greetings.
We're looking for the Isle of Gorgon. Have you heard of it?
See, isn't this amazing? You're loving it.
I do love it.
Everyone else will be voiced by Chris Pratt. Because that's what we do now.
You ruined
it. Did you see the Garfield trailer?
What?
Chris Pratt is Garfield now.
Why?
Because he's every voice. No more voice actors. Why? It's all Chris Pratt. It's Chris Pratt's all the way down.
Why are they making another Garfield? Haven't they learned their lesson? What child is aching for a Garfield movie?
You down to watch Garfield? There's one.
We got one. We got one.
But that's Small Soldiers. I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Jadinklage Morgoon. Listen, thank you. In no universe, without your steadfast wisdom handholding me through what I needed to do, would I have watched Small Soldiers again without your help. I appreciate that. I have not seen this movie in the 21st century. Almost
neither
guaranteed.
I, yeah.
It was fun. It was a good time. I do think it deserves a higher cult classic status than it will ever have. You know, I feel like because Gremlins is about... Let's be honest.
This level, yeah.
Let's be honest. Gremlins is about as good as this movie is, and it's just everybody loves it for nostalgia reasons.
It came out at the right time.
Small Soldiers needs that push, and we could help it get there.
We could.
The streaming thing's power.
Get in the comments, guys. Let's do it. Let's make sure Small Soldiers blows up.
Instead of Better Help, we're pushing Small Soldiers.
Chip Hazard here. If you don't want this scum to come into your house and kill you, then you'll buy our movies.
Mental health is important. We can do that.
Tin Hut, we can get you a therapist, lickety split. Just sign the form, maggot.
We got to do Starship Troopers. I just bought the 4K.
Oh, yeah, we do. I want to do Starship Troopers.
I've had some people message me about that, too. Like, what's up with the Starship Troopers plan? Nobody's paid to pick it.
No one's paid to pick it yet.
We're trying to knock that. By the way, if you're new to the $25 and above tier and you have not told me what movie you want me to cover, reach out to us on. You can DM me personally, but everybody else has been DMing via Patreon, and I'm tracking those. So if you're wondering what the process looks like for that, you have to reach out to us. But I'm going to go through the recently joined people and make sure I haven't missed anybody. But we're barreling through those at least one a week for the rest of the year.
So next week, we got Seven.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. I just got hyped.
Yeah, we got
David Fincher's Seven.
And then after Seven, guess what?
Eight.
Mean Girls.
Oh, fi-yi-yi. Yeah. Plus the musical's coming out soon.
Yep. How serendipitous is that?
That is serendipitous. That'll be the first one of December. Will we Mean Girls?
Yes.
No, or last one of November, maybe? So we've got, lickety-split. I don't know why I was going to say that. You've got Seven, Mean Girls, and Knives Out. Those are three movies you need to watch that we're going to be covering over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
For sure. We're also going to continue our Lost coverage throughout December. I'm sure we'll do a Christmas movie poll for the Patreon. We've got four other movies. What are the December movies? Just run through them.
There's a TBD, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, the show just came out.
The Other Sister. And one of my personal favorites that I'm excited to get into, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's because we've already covered the other two.
Oh, we covered Temple of Doom.
True, but I watched Raiders.
We haven't actually covered Raiders, which surprisingly.
I watched Raiders and Temple when we covered Temple.
Yeah.
But I didn't rewatch Last Crusade, so it's perfect for me. I still haven't seen Dial of Destiny because I'm like, I've heard it's doo-doo.
I haven't either.
Really?
I haven't either.
I would have thought you would have ran right over to see that.
Well, that was, I think, during the height of our 5 episodes a week coverage.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Fuck.
I never left my home.
Well, the Scott Pilgrim TV show is out, and I will say it's on Netflix. Have you been watching it?
No, I need to, but.
It's great.
I love Scott
Pilgrim. So I thought it was a shot-for-shot animated remake of the movie.
Yeah.
It is not.
It's a series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought it was literally retelling the same story. It's what it was advertised as.
Is it doing the book story? The comic book story?
No, it's different than that too.
It's a completely different take on Scott Pilgrim and the world he fights.
It's not a spoiler to tell you what it is, but I had no idea and it was kind of a pleasant surprise. But I just want people to know that it is not what you think it is. And it's really, really interesting and fun. It's actually mostly from the perspective of Ramona Flowers.
Oh, I like that.
Which it's super, but it's the entire cast is the same as the movie. It's great. Everybody's back.
Love it.
Super good time. So that'll be fun to cover Scott Pilgrim soon as well. So next week is Seven and some more Lost, baby. Get ready for that. Thank you guys for tuning in, for staying with us throughout the strike, and look forward to all the big plans we have for 2024 as we wrap up this year. That's all the time we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Dan Hunt.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.